You're listening to the Mindful Biz Podcast. I'm Alison Morgan, business coach at Relauncher. Today, Sandy Rollins joins us. She's the founder of ethical and sustainable intimates brand, Nat V Basics, a brand she launched to make a positive impact on her daughter's future. Nat V is designed by women with a sustainability mindset, championing environmentally responsible manufacturing processes and manufactured in a factory where workers are paid 24% more than the legal minimum wage. Sandy has created a company with purpose. Sustainability is at the core of everything they do to deliver luxurious, comfortable, and affordable basics that give everyday sustainability conscious women a better choice. Sandy comes from a marketing, sales, and business development background. And prior to starting Nat V, she co-founded two beauty brands and worked in various roles in marketing and business development. In this podcast episode, we talk about her business journey, learnings, marketing, and so much more. Hi, Sandy. Thanks so much for joining us today. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, my pleasure. I'm looking forward to today's chat and hearing all about your business. So before we kick off into the business, I'd love you just to introduce yourself.
Okay. My name is Sandy Rollins, and I am the founder of a company called Nat V Basics. We've been around since late 2019, and yeah, we've been growing since then.
Wow. Is this the first business that you've run?
No, I have had experience in a previous startup, which I was sort of a director and co-founder of. It still exists to this day. It's in a completely different field, though, in more the cosmetics and skincare side of things, which has always been what I grew up in. But I did move on from that lovely company back in 2017, late 2017, and sort of moved on to do my own thing without any partners or anything like that. So,
amazing. So what was the inspiration behind starting this business?
So the inspiration was really back in 2017, actually. I was online and I was trying to find some underwear for myself, actually. And I was going through the classic brands that we've all grown up with. And, you know, they are great, but there was a real lack of transparency of what they were sort of doing in terms of bettering people and the planet. Mm. And that sort of surprised me because, you know, back then, I mean, they're all changing their tune now. But, yeah, back then, you know, they were the biggest and best that we all sort of knew. So I thought there would be a little bit more transparency through the website. And it just wasn't. So I thought, you know what, why don't I look at creating a brand that I would want to buy for women with the boxes that I need ticked. Yeah. So it sort of eventuated from there, and that's how we got to where we are today.
Wow. Okay, so tell us about the brand.
Okay, so, well, Nat V Basics was launched back in, when was it, October, I should know, because it's my daughter's birthday that I launched on, so 31st, which is Halloween.
31st.
So, yeah, 31st Halloween. Of October in 2019, yeah.
Yep.
So we launched then, and we only had a couple of core signature products, which we still have available today, and they are our best sellers.
Yeah.
Those products that we still have today, they are our signature fabric blend, which is a blend of 78% Lensing Modell. And so Lensing Modell is actually made by an Austrian company called Lensing. And so they're really well-renowned in the sustainability front. Worldwide, and they're really good at their closed-loop production system. So when they're taking tree to fiber, they reuse 99% of the waste back into making more. And so that's really good for like the carbon and water footprint overall, and much better option for the people and the planet.
Yeah, wow. How did you know where to start?
That's a really good question. I am not really from the apparel and sort of underwear. I didn't grow up doing it or anything like that. So it was actually a huge learning curve, and it took a lot of time to sort of sit down, plan what I wanted and execute it. So I had to do a lot of research into what were the sort of fabrics and yarns that I wanted to work with. And so I did do a lot of research into, you know, finding Lensing. I did choose that one because I thought it was far better than anything else on the market. So it was really about sitting down and coming up with a basic plan of what are the textiles or the fabrics and yarns that I want to use? What are the styles I want to start off with? And, you know, how am I going to find a manufacturer for that? So That was the first sort of step. And once I could secure the product and I had done all the sampling, which took some time actually to get right, then I could sit down and really look at sort of, you know, the business and sort of marketing plan and really implement that.
Yeah. You know, with the sampling, did you have to go through huge amounts of rounds and changes, or was it not too bad?
It wasn't too bad. I did initially, I think it would have been about 4 or 5 revisions, but they only do it on one size. So you're not doing full size runs until you're actually happy. Yeah. So, you know, I'm a size, our size M, which is like a normal, like an average 10 in Australia. So I'd always just get the samples in that size first and revise until I was happy. And then once I was happy, I get the size run and test it on my whole family in all the different sizes.
When you were sampling, was it more about the cut or the fabric, like, or was it both?
Oh, both. So, I mean, obviously the fabric, super important, the composition, and then obviously how it actually feels when you're wearing it.
Yeah.
And then obviously, you know, how long does it last when you wash? Like, does it wash well? You know, what are the sorts of things that are happening, when you stick it in a washing machine?
Yeah. So basically the cut and the fabric that you're using today, is that has that moved on from what you launched with? I mean, obviously
the fabric
styles, but.
Yeah. The fabric composition definitely has not changed. And the three first signature styles, actually the pattern has not changed on those three. We have had a couple of products since then that we have actually made revisions to after launch for our customers, because we've got their feedback and they have, you know, there's been an overwhelming response to do a few tweaks, which we've done because we love listening to our community and taking that feedback on. But with the three main products, there really hasn't needed to be any changes. So we're pretty lucky.
Right. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. And so where are the majority of your sales coming from? Are they mainly within Australia and online?
They are. So, you know, overwhelmingly our market is Australia at the moment, and that's due to all of our marketing is geared towards attracting Australian customers for now, just because that is the low-hanging fruit and it's much cheaper for us to attract those sort of customers. However, we do have, you know, many – our next two biggest countries are really New Zealand and America. But we don't actually, what I say is, hunt in those areas yet through social media. They just happen to find us and buy us, which is great. But we haven't had any strategies in place to actually target those areas of yet. We do have our trademarks and stuff in place for those areas for when we are ready. But the fact that we're getting sales in there is sort of, it's just happening without us trying it at this point. Yeah.
So what forms of advertising are you using at the moment?
So we're big on social media. Our demographic is, you know, ladies in their late 20s through to, you know, mid 40s or so. We do have obviously older as well, but the main core is that, and they are on social media, which is great for us. So we do a lot of advertising. We've got an external marketing agency that does it for us because they're experts compared to me at actually setting up. So I'm a big believer in hire people that are smarter and better than you at things, because you can't be everything for the whole business, otherwise you go mental. So we definitely advertise on Meta and through Instagram. We obviously always organically posting on Instagram daily. We have a strong influencer strategy too, which we've always had since launch, which has really helped us grow the business, which has been great. And we've also just started actually doing a little bit of PR. But that's only just been in the last month or so. It's not really something that we've looked at from launch, just because it's hard to, it's a bit different compared to your traditional marketing.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. What would be some learnings you've experienced along the way? I mean, I'm sure there's loads, but is there anything that you'd like to share?
Yeah, sure. I think if anyone's looking to sort of start a brand, I would definitely look into, you know, what is your why and your purpose beforehand. I'm a strong believer that you really have to have that down pat. You can't just be like, I'm starting a brand just because these days. There has to be a reason why people are buying into it, and it's not necessarily related to the product. It's more on a subconscious level of, you know, why you do what you do, which is sounds a little bit like Simon Sinek, and that's because it absolutely is. I don't know if anyone's heard of him or seen his videos, but I'm a strong believer in that. I'd also say, you know, try to get to know your customers as intimately as you can. you know, and give them what they want, and, you know, try to get them part of your community and be a community-based business where they feel part of your team and not just like they're buying from this business that, you know, they're not really that connected with. Yeah. We love all of our customers and we talk to them as much as we can through socials and really try to make them feel part of the community and get their advice and feedback all the time. So I think that's important. Probably be careful of your cash flow. It's always
cash flow
really
is
difficult
in product businesses. Yeah.
It is, especially because we pay for everything up front before we even sell it. So I still struggle, like, to be honest. We're only coming to our third full financial year at the end of June, and it's still like a daily headache for me, to be honest. It's just one of those things. But, you know, as long as you've got a plan, even if it's a basic Excel plan, to sort of guide you and try and, you know, plan it out before it happens so you know what's coming and what you need to get in and your outgoings, hopefully that'll sort of, you know, let you sleep at night. And it's, I suppose the last,
well, everyone's in the same boat. Yeah
I know. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I hope that once you get into the bigger, you know, after 5 years, maybe 6 or 7, it starts to ease up a bit depending on what your strategy is, but I don't know. Yeah. I haven't been there yet.
Tough. It is tough. Yeah. But yeah, as you say, as long as you're mindful and you can plan as best as you can, that helps.
Yes. Ease. Yeah, and you can only do the best that you can as well with what you have. So, you know, as long as you're really, you know, trying your best and doing as much as you know. So,
where are you? Are you in Melbourne or Sydney?
No, we're on the Gold Coast. So we're in Miami.
Gold Coast.
Yeah, we're a GC brand.
So your warehouse with all the products is in the Gold Coast?
Yeah.
There.
Yeah. So this is the office behind me, and downstairs is like the factory. So,
yeah. Wow. And how long have you been in that space for?
So our lease runs out next October, which means we're coming into our third year. Yep.
Right. And will you release where you are?
No, we've like dramatically outgrown the space and we're just sort of making ends meet. We've got boxes everywhere.
Oh, my gosh.
We had a nice staff room, so there's no staff room anymore because it's just like boxes. So, like, by next year we'd really like to find like a bigger premises to allow us to, you know, keep on growing and scaling to our needs.
Yeah. So over the next 12 months, because that was my next question, is like what's the focus and what do you see happening over the next 12 months?
To be honest, with like the macro economy and the way it is at the moment, it's a little bit of a challenging time, I think, for everyone. So yeah. I am very wary of that because, you know, our customers are, you know, everyday amazing women who have mortgages and things. So I'm not too sure, and I can't predict the future, but our game plan at the moment is to really just sit tight and maintain what we've been doing. And really concentrate on, you know, working the kinks out in our tech stack. So, you know, we've got Shopify and we've got an ERP system. We've got all these apps, and sometimes like it gets a bit clunky and things don't flow properly. So we really want to nail that out and make sure that, you know, there's no sort of issues between them that are occurring, which currently does happen. So,
do you think,
and
that's
then just
the volume of sales that you're experiencing, or it's more of a tech issue?
It's more of a tech issue. You know, I know the ERP system that we use is used by huge companies, you know, around the world. So it wouldn't be, you know, a sales volume issue. It's just literally I'm not an IT group, but like the tech bits going between each other that they're not really syncing.
But isn't it annoying, like, how much tech can stuff up your day and how much time you can waste, you know, trying to figure things out or speaking to different people to get it fixed, and then it's still not done, and oh my
God. Yeah. And because like each app, you know, they all have their own IT people and they don't really know the other IT components of the business and they can't get into them. And it's just, it can sometimes become quite a nightmare to sort of even work out yourself and the flow that it's going. And you're like, well, you know, how do we fix this? So you sit down and you map it out and you can get a bit full on.
Jesus, it's difficult, isn't it?
Yeah.
So beyond that, have you had any major hurdles along the way?
To date, not really. I mean, we're only really coming into our third end of our third financial year. I suppose some of the hurdles are always like capital and investment. There's only so much you can grow and do with limited funds, and we don't have any external investors or anything like that at this stage. Everything has been, you know, paid for by myself and my own savings. So that's probably a huge hurdle.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, as we grow, we hope to get, you know, more staff in, which will also be very helpful. But we are running, you know, we've only got a team of about 5 at the moment, yeah, including myself. So,
you're reinvesting a lot of the profit back into the business to help grow.
Pretty much all of it. So all of it goes back into at this point, because we are still so new.
Yeah.
Like, there's no point in my mind at this point taking it out. I only just started paying myself like last year. So,
yeah.
You know,
that's
so
business.
Yeah. That
first 5 years is really tough. Yeah.
It is. And I think like people need to know that not every day is like a walk in the park. It can get pretty full on, and it can get like, you can get really bad anxiety sometimes. But that's all normal. I think we just have to recognize it and, you know, move forward.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Do you see yourself getting investors on board at some point?
I'd like to. I think it would be really great for the business, because I'm very aware that I can only take it to a certain point based on my own experience.
Mm.
And I'd really love an investor come in, not just for, you know, the money side of things, but for their actual experience.
Yes.
To be like, right, you're here, we've seen this, and we think these are the next steps forward to get to, you know, 20 million a year, 30 million a year. And that would be the goal. But to be honest, I have no idea how to even get in front of a VC or, you know, angel investors. So,
The longer you can stay away from not having investors, the better, because it can complicate things quite often. Yeah.
And I'm sure it does.
Yeah. And there's a lot of pressure put on you for certain deliverables.
Results.
So, yeah, the more you can keep it under your wings, the better. How are you finding juggling, right, because you're in growth stage of, and you know, still startup-based business as well.
Yes.
With trying to have a life. Like, do you manage to have time to switch off and look after yourself?
I try to, but to be honest, you know, NatV Basics is pretty much like my second baby anyway. Yeah. So I often do find myself late at night on my phone, just like checking emails or on Instagram, talking to customers. And it doesn't really feel like work in the end, because it's like my second child. So I'm pretty lucky in that respect, where I haven't had any burnout or anything like that yet. But there's not too much work-life balance at the moment, but maybe as we get bigger and better and, I don't know, that might get better.
How old's your child?
So my little girl is 9 and she will be 10 this year. So,
right. Yeah, it is a juggle. Because it
definitely can be.
So are you able to drop her off to school and pick her up?
Yeah, some days I do. Some days I'll pick her up and take her to horse riding. But it's great because I can work from anywhere anyway. So I just need a laptop or my phone, and, you know, I can watch and just answer an email and, you know, if I have to, something urgent comes up.
Yeah, you can multitask. That's the beauty of running your own business. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm at the other end of the spectrum, because my eldest has finished school last year and he's at uni, and my second one is doing year 12 this year, and my business has been going for 13 years. So
wow, congratulations.
I'm like at the other end where I've been through all that, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like literally, for me, next year's a whole new era. Like, I've got big plans.
Well, congratulations.
I'm going to take my laptop and travel, go with the sun, you know.
Oh, European summer.
Yeah, but just in some chapters, because I'm like, you know what, this is one of the reasons we set this business, we set up our own businesses, is to have some freedom and flexibility. And after 13 years and taking two kids through an entire career of school, it's like, I'm
going to miss
that, because there's been so much of what you're talking about where you go, you know, you're multitasking all the time, and, you know, you're looking after the family and keeping the house going and making sure that there's food on the table and all of that, as well as running and growing a business. And it's full on, and it doesn't stop.
I know, it really can be full on, but
it is.
Yeah,
and
somehow get through.
Well, that's why so many people do burn out. They really do. You know, 5, 6+ years in, and it's like sometimes people's body is just kind of like, no, you're not
give up. Yeah.
You need to lie down.
Yeah, a well-deserved rest.
do you do exercise?
Yeah, I do. I like going to Pilates, reformer Pilates a couple of times a week. And, you know, going for walks and things like that is good too.
Yeah. I love reformer.
It's good. I love it too. I mean, I hate it at the time, I have to be honest, but after yes. I feel good.
I did mat Pilates this morning with that bloody magic circle and I hate it. But the minute I'm finished, I'm like, oh, I'm really glad I did that.
Yeah. I mean, anything that's, you know, going to benefit you never feels good at the time almost. Yeah. Like it always feels good after. It's for how you feel after. So you've got to go through that bit of pain to get the benefit. Sort of like business, to be honest.
Oh, my gosh. How many hours of sleep would you get a night, do you think?
I definitely like to have at least 8. I do need sleep. If I haven't had good sleep, I'm a big grump and I can't think and I have brain fog and then I just not nice to be around and, you know, you'll hear me whinge a bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's good that you're looking after yourself and super exciting. Tell us which ones are your best sellers. I'm going to look at your website as you're telling me this because I want to have a look at here. I've got my friend. All right. So which ones are your best sellers?
So our bestseller has always been our Cheeky G.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah. So that one from Day Dot has been, the bestseller. And then I think it is followed by our Cali Brief.
Right.
But it really depends. We do collabs sometimes with, influencers and things. We do have one coming up with the Darling Shine Girls, which are two local Gold Coast girls that are well known.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we've got that launching in like a week or no, just under 2 weeks. So I feel like some of the pieces that we've got coming then will be like bestsellers until they're sold out too. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That's so good. All right. So where can everyone find you?
Well, we are mostly just online. We don't have any bricks or mortar, but we do have amazing stockers and like little boutiques around Australia that do stock our product and they're lovely, you know, female-owned businesses that you can go into. We did have it on the website, but of the list of them, but we've actually just been revamping that, so it's unavailable. But if anyone's interested, they can email us and we can let them know where those stores are.
Sure. And the URL for the website is natvbasics.com and you're also on Instagram.
We are, and it's just, at natvbasics.
Amazing. Sandy, thank you so much for joining us here today.
Thank you so much for having me.